Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is, what day is it? Tuesday, February 28th. We're with under an hour away from March here as we record this, and it is Championship Week day number two. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, David Dorman, and John Stalica. Day two of Championship Week, and still locked in the puppet bunker is Mr. David Griggs.
I've been studying though. Tonight, I think I got it.
I've been studying.
What?
You're locked
Yeah,
in.
to get out of here. I'm getting out tonight.
Okay. You're getting out today. Okay. Let's get to the games. Actually, what we're going to be starting to do now from now on these shows is, in addition to going over the conference tournament, just talk about some of the notable things not related to conference tournaments, specifically for the next several days here, the end of the regular season, and some notable games tonight. Just want to run through them somewhat quickly. First of all, Dorman, Virginia, nice win, home win over Clemson, which may be the end of Clemson's chances, or very close to it.
Really, really would have helped Clemson. They didn't get it. Virginia needed to bounce back. They had been ice cold. They had a tough day in Chapel Hill on Saturday. The Tar Heels got them. But yes, you're right, Chad. They got a much needed win, and Clemson is officially on life support.
Yep. Stalica in the Big East. Congratulations to Marquette for the Big East title. And the other notable game, Villanova with a road win at Seton Hall, which may be end of Hall's outlier chances here.
That one, it looked built. That was a game where Villanova could never quite put the Pirates away. But if you're talking about teams that also had their at-large chances ended, Wake Forest. Ugh.
That was the next one I was going to get to. You nailed it. Wake Forest home loss to Boston College. This team was on life support to begin with, and I think life support is gone now.
Yes. Last
Griggs,
rites. Yeah.
Iowa went to Indiana and crushed the Hoosiers tonight.
Yeah, so these were two teams that were both coming off sort of emotional and improbable wins. Not that beating Michigan State is improbable of in and of itself, but beating them down 13 with 90 seconds to go is, and then Indiana going to Purdue. So this was kind of the follow-up game. Iowa got their feet on the ground a lot sooner than Indiana did after both teams had their heads in the clouds and just blew their doors off.
Yeah,
I was ready to, start making arguments that Indiana might belong as high as the two line. Not now.
Dorman, NC State goes to Duke. Duke gets the win. NC State, is there cause for concern here at this point for a tournament bid?
I think so. I wouldn't want to lose this weekend and lose the first game in the ACC tournament and test the committee. They're on the good side of the bubble, let's say that. But a win or two would not hurt their cause to make sure they get in.
Yeah, here's the NC State profile. Only things in Tier 1 is a home win over Duke and a road win at Vatek. Although
Yeah.
Miami, North Carolina home are not that bad. But that's it. They don't play on this on Saturday.
Well, they're
They're
out.
done until the ACC
Sorry.
tournament.
Right. And and that's a chance to pick up some more wins away from home against decent to good teams.
Stalica, we just saw right before we started this, Boise State, a home win over San Diego State, and I guess Boise State stays in the field, right?
Well, it was certainly a step in the right direction for the Broncos after a little bit of an iffy loss in their prior game at San Jose State.
Yep, and Kansas Griggs holds off a very game Texas Tech team, but
Yeah.
I think Texas Tech, this is that's it. They may have to win the Big 12 tournament at this point.
They might have to. And she, I don't know. Getting to the Big 12 championship game would involve beating two, if not three, really, really good teams. And maybe that's enough, but today certainly would have helped. And when you look at Texas Tech, can we pull them up real quick? It's just an interesting profile. And how long have we been doing this? Up 20 years, 15 years. That is the most losses I've ever seen, with so few being outside of Tier One. I
Yeah,
don't think I've seen that many. Yeah.
when you look at the what do they have for wins in Tier 1 and
Right.
2, three home wins, one road win. I mean that win at Oklahoma is not tier, really that yeah. great. It's not a tournament caliber.
Right, game. But it is. You and haven't the way, seen when many it, like
the,
that.
The win at West Virginia may or may not be a tournament caliber win. And Iowa State can't beat anybody right now. So they beat Texas at home. It's not enough. It's just not enough.
Yeah.
Okay. One other note here. Dorman, Tennessee, a nice home win over Arkansas, but that was not the big news. The big news was Zakai Ziegler, their second-best scorer, left the game with a very scary-looking knee injury.
Yeah, it was non-contact. It was very scary. It was quiet in Knoxville for 5 minutes while he was on the court. They love this kid. He's their heart and soul. He's their point guard. He's the spoon that stirs this whole drink. The big guys are great. They play great defense, but they love this Ziegler kid. It's only his second year in Knoxville, but they want him. They need him. If they want to make a Final Four run like they believe they can, Ziegler needs to be on the floor. Let's hope these reports come. I haven't heard a report, so if anyone else did, maybe. But if not, let's hope he's okay.
Okay. But, Griggs, one other game of note here. Is before we get to the conference tournament games.
Yes, and I know what you're going
to
say.
Happened in Louisville.
Happened in Louisville,
let's
yes.
Let's go to the video. So let's go to the picture. Halftime show with the dog catching frisbees. That dog ain't catching a frisbee.
The most notable thing that's happened on Louisville's court this year.
Not catching a frisbee, but dropping a loaf.
Oh my God.
Sums up their season pretty well.
Yeah.
Sums it up.
And you got to know, you know, the event staff there and the administration have got to be thinking, what next? And what sorry student worker had to clean that up? Good God.
Oh, jeez. Let's get to conference tournaments, and let's start with the game of the day, actually, Dorman. Queens at Kennesaw State, one of the four ASUN quarterfinals today. What a game.
Unbelievable. Back and forth. Kennesaw was down and up and down in the first half, but Queens was game. They were there. Kennesaw was begging for this rematch. I don't think they should be begging for Queens anymore. Kennesaw State, they're going to start need to working on their free throws before Thursday night, before Lipscomb comes to town, because they had chance after chance to seal it from the line, and they didn't. So they need to work on their shots from the charity stripe. Queens, a wonderful season. I love the way they play basketball. Extremely well coached. They run a beautiful motion offense. I think we're going to hear from Queens real soon in the future in the ASUN Conference.
Yeah, Queens is so much foul trouble this whole game, and yet they kept finding ways to bring the next guy in to score for them.
Great. Yeah, I would just like to ask Kennesaw State, what did free throws ever do to you for you to abuse them like that? And to echo David's point, a really successful season for Queens, the first year of transition, finishing with a winning record overall. It's going to get hard in year two and year three when you start to have your better contributing players filter out. It's hard to replace them prior to year four, because you're on probation and you are for the foreseeable future. So they might go, I think year two and year three are actually the hardest years of transitioning, but I think that this program is built for D1 success once they get through the transition.
Okay. Fair enough. Stalika, the other games here in the ASUN, Stetson Lipscomb, it looked like it was going to be a game that came down to the wire. This game was like a 1-point game back and forth for about 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, we also teased it in my final thought back on Sunday that Lipscomb was a team that could potentially be a sleeper into the championship, and they certainly lived up to their end of the bargain in the tonight's round, at least.
Yeah, they just that last 2 or 3 minutes of the game, they just put the gas pedal down, and suddenly it went. What was this 1-point game the whole way? Suddenly became a 13-point final score blowout that was way closer than that final score.
Right,
Griggs. The other two games here, Liberty and Eastern Kentucky, neither one really had much problem with Bellarmine or North Alabama.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Eastern Kentucky. Not that I wasn't impressed with Liberty, but I think we were kind of expecting them to roll big. A lot of us were picking them to win the whole tournament. A lot of us had expectations for them all year. Eastern Kentucky really playing well down the stretch and really looking good today against the North Alabama team who finished the season pretty hot.
Yeah. I mean, our good friend Rocco Miller from BrackTier.org told us all to take North Alabama in this game. He was just a wee bit wrong. So, 25 points.
I'll just say it's a good thing for the Ohio Valley. Eastern Kentucky is not there this year. They probably roll the way they've been playing of late.
Right. There's the semifinals. We'll preview a little bit tomorrow night. The conference has a day off here, but the top two seeds did advance to the semifinals. Let's move over to the next league and Sleeka, let me start with you over in the Horizon League with the top game there, Detroit Mercy, Purdue Fort Wayne. We were tracking this to see, one, could Detroit get the win in another game? And two, how many points Antoine Davis would score? Answer was 38 points. He's only 25 points away from tying Pistol Pete and cutting into Thursday's game.
Yep, and that's going to make tickets for Youngstown State and Detroit Mercy a hell of a lot more expensive now with a potential record on the line right here.
In the igloo?
Yeah, the real story here is the Penguins. If you don't have Penguin fever, I just can't respect you as a human being.
I think a lot more people are going to have Titan fever for that one.
No, it's a Penguin.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that at the game with Titan fever. I think maybe watching the game, but not at the game. Griggs, the only decent finish in this of these three games was the Robert Morris IUPUI game, where IUPUI came storming back and in fact tied the game with a few seconds left.
Yeah, down by, if not 20, close to it. The
14 was their maximum deficit before they tied it at 64, and Michael Green with 2 seconds left for Robert Morris.
Hits the three, and yeah. IUPUI really going through a rough stretch between last year, this year. And what a rough way to end the rough stretch.
They showed up tonight. When I give them credit for that. They really did.
Right.
And they beat Robert Morris last week too.
They, mm-hmm. Yep. And they hung tough with Youngstown on the season finale.
Yeah. So you kind of hope that program has some happy days ahead, because it's been a while since they've had any. But other than that, yeah, that was kind of the game of the night. To be honest, like I wasn't watching Detroit Mercy, and apparently midway through the first half or thereabouts, neither were half of the student section.
so some mass ejection happened in the game. Yeah, I don't have the details either. I did not have the game on at that point. There were 9 games that started at the same time tonight, which is kind of tough. Real quick, Dorman, Wright State. Green Bay was in it for about a half, but they just rolled in the second half and move on to the quarterfinals as well.
Yeah, Wright State was much better in the second half. Wasn't even a game. Green Bay's had a really tough year, but Rocco told us last night he liked Wright State to make a move in this tournament. They got Milwaukee next. Milwaukee's playing better ball of late. That should be a great game.
Yeah, the chalk holds in the opening rounds.
So. Chalk holds. We will preview these games tomorrow night because they're not coming up until Thursday, but we do have quarterfinals coming up Thursday back at Campus Sites again. It was opening round day in the Patriot League. And, Griggs, these were actually a pair of pretty good games, all things considered.
Yeah, Cross kind of fell behind, but fought their way back, and with – like a minute or two to go was right in there. American and Bucknell was close all throughout. They finally got control down the end. You might remember American was a team that we were really big on back in November and December. They bloated their record way up largely against a pastry cart, but only finishing 7, needing to win an opening round game just to get to the quarterfinals, but getting it done today against Bucknell. They get to play at least one more game.
And one of the most incredible shots we will see in championship week was at the end of the first half in this game when Bucknell, it was from the their own free throw stripe. A three-quarter court at least heave that went, there was nothing but net at right at the halftime buzzer.
That's been happening a lot this week.
Contested or uncontested?
No, it was not contested. It was nobody even. I think American was walking off the court at that point, going to the locker room. But American does get that 5-point win. They'll play Navy on Thursday. Colgate Loyal Marymount Thursday. We'll be repeating these games again. tomorrow night when we start previewing the
And
Thursday
we
games.
do. I mean, I know that it was already set up before today, but how about that last quarterfinal game that we're going to preview tomorrow? That
Yeah.
Lehigh Lafayette, they're 17 miles apart.
And never met in the NCAA tournament.
Never met in the NCAA tournament.
Stalika, there's two other games we played today. You know, I'm going to take a nap here while you tell me about the two of them. Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State, Texas State, Georgia State, and complete yawn sleepers, I thought, say, in the Sun Belt.
I mean, the game action wasn't much to write home about, but there was one fantastic windmill dunk towards the end of the Arkansas State game that at least made it worth tuning in briefly right here. But as expected, Jonas Hayes and Georgia State, his first loss ever in the postseason, as Georgia State was in a complete rebuild after losing their head coach from the previous year. So Texas State, another team that had fallen off the cliff compared to where they were last year. I don't know. Will they have another upset in them against Old Dominion?
Yeah, I don't know that they will. I kind of like this Old Dominion team a little bit. Honestly, that Texas State, Georgia State being a 5-point game, the game was not that close. I will say Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina was a little bit closer until late. Arkansas State just kind of, you know, ended up putting this thing away. Another conference that takes tomorrow off, they are playing in a neutral court in Pensacola. I believe the women's games are there as well. They're going to play the women's games tomorrow, back with the men's games in what I guess we'll call the second round here on Thursday.
Right. I think they should have double elimination in this tournament. It should just be, like, you know, a 3-week extravaganza.
I don't know where to go. Let's go. That's it. Those are the conference tournament games today. So let's just go right ahead into our previews. We're actually having a pretty quick show tonight. That's good news.
Yeah, it's going to be Wednesday's a little bit light. Thursday heavy again. So
well, Wednesday is, tomorrow. There's actually be less games tomorrow than there were coming up Wednesday than there were here on Tuesday. Then once we get to Thursday, you know, these first 3 days are kind of a little appetizer, I think, and then we get to the main course starting Thursday. But Dorman. Tomorrow kicks off the Big South tournament with the 8-9 and 7-10 games. High Point, Charleston Southern, Campbell Presbyterian. Anything you're looking forward to in those two games?
Great question. I do actually think Campbell's better than Presbyterian, although I do think neither of these four teams are going to make a move. I think UNC Asheville, the class of this conference all year, will handle High Point or Charleston Southern easily. And Longwood's been impressive lately, too, so I see them moving on. But if the tighter game, I will guess, to be tomorrow will be High Point and Charleston Southern, and I see Campbell moving on.
I say I don't agree with you there for one reason.
Really?
If you look at Presbyterian's scores in their games, I think they won one Close. Big South game all season. They probably lost 10 games by 3 points or less.
Yeah, they sort of are a little bit them in Little Rock. I don't know who lost more close games, but it was close.
Yeah,
and so you're saying Presbyterian's going to win the Press Bell tomorrow night?
They might win the Press Bell. As far as who wins this entire tournament, because the first time we've looked at it, I don't know, Griggs, if I really care much who wins the entire tournament, as long as Longwood wins on Friday and Winthrop pulls the upset and we get the Wynwood Cup semifinal. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Longwood. the Wynwood Cup. Longwood. At Radford, having a good year, but dealing with injuries down the stretch, that's going to affect them. So I think we will have a Wynwood Cup semifinal. They better get. And the thing is, it's like anything you're looking forward to tomorrow, we're all going to be watching those two games, even though it's anyway. But I'm going with Longwood over the favorite Asheville.
I'm going with Asheville. Stalika, where are you going?
I went with Longwood, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Gardner Webb be a potential dark horse in this tournament.
Yeah, I think Asheville was the class of this league by a lot here. I think this is going to be one where, you know, just form just kind of holds here. Other than the 6-3 upset in the first round there.
Yeah,
it is also first round day in the Ohio Valley tournament tomorrow in this extended ladder format.
That's only four rounds. At least they get it within four rounds.
Griggs, you got SEMO versus Lindenwood and SIU Edwardsville against Southern Indiana. What
Well, will the trend of transitional teams perform. I know that we saw two of them go down the day in the A Sun, but can we see transitional teams win more conference tournament games? I kind of like Southern Indiana tomorrow to knock off Edwardsville back in January, as late as mid to late January. I thought Edwardsville was the only team in this conference that was worth a crap. They have since played like crap down the stretch. In Edwardsville, or, I'm sorry, in Southern Indiana, it's kind of in their home city. I think there is kind of a buzz around that program playing in a Division I conference tournament, albeit barely. But yeah, I think they get it done tomorrow.
And Lindenwood had a couple of back-to-back big comeback wins to even make that 8 seed, including that thriller against Little Rock on Saturday.
Yeah.
See if they keep that trend up against SEMO, fall down big early, win it on a buzzer beater, you know. Salika, who do you like to win this?
I'm going to go with Moorhead in this tournament right here. This is where I would go chalk.
I'm going Moorhead also. Dorman?
3 for 3. I'm on Moorhead.
Yeah, we're going Moorhead to take this thing. One more conference in action tomorrow, and at least it's better than a couple of first-round games. It is quarterfinal round day in our favorite conference.
Our favorite conference.
It is Northeast Conference quarterfinal day. We have an ineligible team there as the one seed. Merrimack hosting Long Island. Two storylines with that game. Number one, Merrimack being the ineligible team as the one seed. Number two, Long Island with that loss may lock up the Centenary Award for the worst team in D1. Then we got the Sacred Heart Wagner game, FDU SFBK, SFPA Central Connecticut. By the way, if Merrimack wins this whole thing, whoever they beat in the finals is your Northeast Conference Tournament automatic bid winner.
Yeah, so it might come down to yet another meaningless championship game. But we do have, I believe, history here, Chad. I'm trying to get it here. I know Stalika is more of a historian than I am. Is this the first ever, in the entire 100-plus years of college basketball, conference tournament without a single top 300 team?
I'll tell you what, let's go to the Louisville Dog. That's probably appropriate for this conference as well. But we can actually bring up the standings here in the Northeast Conference. Let's figure out where they're at here. They are coming up here. And here is our nets for the conference. And you are correct. Top net here is 303 Wagner. How about that?
I thought Griggs was going somewhere else, actually. I thought he was going to ask, has a team in transitional team that's ever not been able to make the to be able to be crown champ and go to the tournament been the one seed? Has that ever occurred?
No.
I don't think it has. Now that you mention it.
That is the first time. Let's talk about Dorman. How about tomorrow's games? Any upsets in terms of the seeding? These are being played on campus sites.
I think you could see a bunch of upsets. There is not much difference between a lot of these teams, especially the 4-5, 2-7, 3-8. I do like Fairleigh Dickinson to make a move in this tournament and either get to the finals or win it all. That's my pick. But I think a lot of upsets could be. Central Connecticut winning tomorrow would not surprise me at all. Wagner, Sacred Heart, 4-5, that's a 50-50 toss-up. This conference is up for grabs.
Okay. Salika, what do you think?
I have a Fairleigh Dickinson picked in the Jerome right here. But like Dorman said, I wouldn't be surprised to see Central Connecticut pull off at least one upset here in the tournament overall.
Yeah, no, not going with Wagner being the highest net team. I guess here's the other question, though. You got them picked in the Jerome, not Merrimack, though. Because quite frankly, I think Merrimack wins this tournament.
That's who I'm going with, and yeah. I have them defeating St. Francis Brooklyn in the championship game, because if St. Francis Brooklyn is going to make their first ever tournament, it's going to be with the biggest asterisk of all time.
That would be a great way for them to get their first ever tournament bid. I kind of like that.
Unfortunately, it would not be in the championship game, though, not when you have reseeds.
Oh, yeah, the reseeds. Oh, yeah. Good call. Yeah, they do a reseed. Okay, yeah, I'm going with the Blackbirds, and okay. I know that they don't exist anymore, but that's who I'm going with.
the team that doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
Long Island. Okay. That is tomorrow's games. There's only the three conferences in action. Like we said, things will get a little bit busier here Thursday night. We really start to pick things up. So on that note, let's Right. What's up next? Survival board.
Busy this is day.
This is our survival board. This is a tool we do for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee where we show them what teams they should be taking, debating, and not even thinking about unless they win the automatic bid, correct?
Right. That is absolutely right.
And heading into the day today, there were 336 teams with a chance to qualify for the NCAA Tournament and potentially win it all.
Yeah.
As a result of today's action, which including a couple of teams that got eliminated from qualified to their conference tournaments.
Who were the – yeah, let's cover that real quick.
They were – Albany did not qualify for the American East Tournament. Western Michigan's been eliminated from qualifying for the MAC tournament.
Yeah.
Three more MAC teams will be knocked out on Friday when they finish up play. But here we go. What happened as a result of today's games? Three 125 teams left.
All right,
we got a long way to go to get down to 68 guys.
And well, my team is we're in the 325. We're in the final 325. I want to start marketing shirts. Final 325.
But for example, though, if the committee does come to this page, Griggs, and we've got these teams in blue. So if they're debating, does Kansas State belong in the NCAA tournament? What does them being in blue mean?
It means that they do. It means that the committee will have to select them. I mean, and they'll come here and they'll see, oh, yeah, Kansas State's in blue, so we need to take them. We do this to help the committee out. We know that they're watching.
What if the committee's wondering whether or not they should take West Virginia?
Well, they're going to – this is one of those things. Like, we don't do all the thinking for them. That's one that they're going to be able to decide on their own whether they want to take West Virginia or not.
Now, what if you know, one of the committee members, one of the newer committee members, raises his hand in the middle of one of the meetings and goes, guys, why aren't we discussing Florida Gulf Coast?
Well, and that could happen, especially with a new member that might not know anything about college basketball. You know, sometimes they get confused. Sometimes they think it's volleyball or baseball. They would be like, no, you need to – we've been over this, but you got to remind people when they're new, look at the survival board. Florida Gulf Coast is not eligible for a bid.
They've been crossed off. Their season is over.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done yet with the show?
No. I'm getting out of the bunker.
Oh, okay.
Locked in.
We have decided that we're going to give Griggs a chance to get out of the puppet bunker every night here. And all he's got to do is
after tonight, I'm out.
Well, if you get out, say, let's go ahead and make pull up a couple of blind resumes here. Let it load it here for a second. I've got a pair of blind resumes, Griggs. And if you can just tell me who these two teams are, you can get out. And I know I was criticized yesterday because I gave you such hard ones. I don't even want to give you race and somebody else.
Somehow I don't think these teams are in blue.
No, look, these are teams that are actually in red, but they're blind resumes. And you think you're a college basketball expert. You think you can get some, but I'll give you a hint, Griggs.
Okay.
These teams are crosstown rivals.
Oh.
There's a hint. A big hint.
And keep in mind, we're looking for teams for the ACA.
I don't want people saying I was unfair to you. So.
Yeah, that was a good hint.
Well, yeah, that is a good hint. And looking at it, okay, I'm guessing – let me start with the one on the left here. This is – I mean, this is probably an under-the-radar team, probably from a low-level conference. It looks like there's a lot of 2 and 300, but I'm noticing in looking at this, Chad, and you got to decipher – this must be a big under-the-radar conference because there aren't a lot of double numbers in there, so they didn't play a lot of teams twice. I'm thinking – okay, I'm thinking the one on the left, Chad, is the Dolphins, which would make the one on the right the North Florida Ospreys. I am right. I'm getting out of here.
Let's find out what happened.
There it is.
Jacksonville left. North Florida right is his guess, and it is.
Yeah, here we
Jacksonville
go.
Jacksonville left. Jacksonville State right. So crosstown rivals.
Jacksonville left.
You okay there, Griggs?
No! What? You said it was a crosstown rivalry.
Well, they played this year. We talked about them being a crosstown rival. That's what you said.
I wasn't serious.
Well, I listened to you. I don't know what to do. Sorry, another night in the Papa Bunker. You came close. Got one right. You got one out
so
of two.
So close.
Oh, close. Let's go to final thoughts here. Stalika, any final thoughts on the night?
I'm going to have a special guest in attendance for tomorrow night to see if the puppet can get out of the bunker tomorrow night, because, I mean, this is good practice because we're going to need to select teams for the AC8 and also help with the CBI, the CIT, or whatever they're calling it now.
A special guest. All right. A little tease there. We'll find out what happens. Dorman.
A little shout out to Max Rice, the guard, the superstar guard on Boise State. His dad, if the last name rings a bell, is Leon Rice, the head coach at Boise State. Had an unbelievable game. He got knocked down to the floor. He's had back issues for the last 2 years. He was down on the floor for a couple minutes, got up gingerly. In the second half, he went on a tear. They were down about 4 or 5 points, and all of a sudden, next thing they were, he hit 2 threes, a beautiful driving layup. And next thing they knew, Boise State was victorious over San Diego State. I know a lot of people think Boise's still on the bubble. I think this win puts it over and gets them in.
Yeah, this was a huge win over San Diego State, that's playing so well. Greg, you want to finish the show off?
Yeah, the games have been pretty good so far. But out of all the conference tournaments that have started, I think, what are we, 3 in, 4 in? They've all already fallen short of something. And that is being as great with as many great games as the final Great West tournament, where every game was decided by 2 points or less.
Yes, that was actually the best tournament of all time.
Of all time.
I can't be done. But yeah. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll have another fairly short show again tomorrow night because there's only 3 conferences in action. Thursday night, things will really start ramping up. We'll also be doing a bracket rundown show, I think, on Thursday. But on behalf of John Stalika, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.